Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Well, today's show is all about community organizations making a difference. And coming up around 12:30, we'll be joined by Julie Acterson. She's with the King County Library System. And we'll share what KCLS has planned for 2016 with their new community program. It's called Everyone's Talking About It. And as you might gather from that, it's designed to spark conversation. And with topics ranging from gun control to drones, your health, immigration, and our environment, there's plenty coming your way. But first, I'm very pleased to have three guests in the studio with me. Two of them have two legs, and one of them has four legs. So let me introduce my guests to you. They're from Old Dog Haven, and we're going to tell you lots more about that in just a moment. Tina Nabseth is the placement director for Old Dog Haven. She also manages the Old Dog Haven Facebook page. And as you might imagine, one of her biggest passions in life is animal rescue. And Paula Mareschi is the outreach coordinator for Old Dog Haven. And although she has a special weakness for basset hounds, I'm told, or any lowrider, she's adored every Old Dog Haven dog that has lived with her. We're going to find out more about that. She also owns and operates two retail stores in Seattle. So ladies, welcome, Tina and Paula. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having us.
And Paula, do you want to introduce our four-legged friend to our listeners?
You bet. This is Bogart. He is one of our over 300 final refuge dogs in permanent foster care with Old Dog Haven. I've actually had Bogart for over 3.5 years, which is a testament to the wonderful care that Old Dog Haven provides these dogs. He was found wandering the streets of Linwood as a stray.
Oh.
He was brought to the Paws Animal Shelter, and then Paws contacted Old Dog Haven to see if we had a place for him. And that place for him was me. When I got him, he was not in good shape. He had a mouthful, rotten teeth. He had a terrible gastric upset. You wouldn't even know it was the same dog if you saw a picture of him. His hair was about 10 inches long and all matted. His vet lovingly refers to it as his Rasta phase.
Which is, 10 inches is quite significant because
yes,
he's quite
it is.
A small dog.
Yes, he's only 7 pounds. And when I got him, he only weighed 4.
Oh, my gosh.
So he had to have lots of tests. He had to have an ultrasound and a echocardiogram to see if he could even withstand a surgery to get all of his rotten teeth removed. His teeth were so bad that I was giving him a bath, and as I was drying his face and touching it, one of them fell right out in my hand, and of course I freaked out, but he didn't even notice.
Oh, gosh, that's terrible.
But he's in great shape now. He's on over 6 heart medications. He's on a special diet, and as you can see, he's just full of lots of spunk and energy. And
if you hadn't told me all that, I would never have known.
That's right.
He looks wonderful, and I had a little cuddle with him before we came to the studio. Well, and he's so friendly and adorable. I was tempted to slip him under my jacket here.
Yeah, I call him my purse pal.
Your purse pal.
Yes,
yeah.
And people, when they meet him, when I take him for walks, they can't believe how old he is. I think he's a puppy.
Yes, he does look like a puppy.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Old Dog Haven. Because you mentioned he's the final refuge dog.
Mm-hmm.
So what does final refuge dog mean?
Most of the dogs we take in are called final refuge dogs. That means they stay with one of our foster homes for the rest of our lives. So
I think the important distinction here is that you're not a shelter.
That's right. We're not a shelter. We're a network of homes, and we provide a final home for all these dogs. And the amazing thing is that Old Dog Haven pays for all the veterinary care for these dogs. Right now, our bills are about $60,000 per month.
Well, the reason I connected with you guys, because I'd not heard of you before myself, was I interviewed Laura Coffey in November, mm-hmm. and she's written a book, as you know, called My Old Dog, with some beautiful mm-hmm. photographs in there by Laurie Ferrusca, I think, was a photographer on that. But she had a whole list of resources at the back of her book for people who, you know, if they can't afford necessarily to pay the medical bills, but they want to help out, they can adopt the dog and certain organizations mm-hmm. will help pay those medical bills. So tell us how that works.
Well, I can tell you. So to become a final refuge or any kind of foster care provider with our network of foster homes, we have an application process, of course. They don't adopt the dog. What happens is you bring the dog into your home and the organization pays the medical bills for the rest of its life. And it's kind of a team effort between the foster and our director, Judith Piper, as far as figuring out what the dog needs medically. But we have, as Paula said, we have over 300 dogs in care and over 100 foster homes. And so, and we always have a need for more foster homes. But depending on where you live, you would go see a vet in your area that we work with.
Right.
And from there, I mean, the dog gets full medical vetting, exams, blood work, urinalysis, as Bogart did. There, it was quite extensive, and it becomes quite expensive. And that there's a huge need for us because the shelters only ask us to take the dogs that they cannot adopt out.
Okay. And they can't adopt them out, I'm assuming, because of the condition of them and that they need really good veterinary care.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's either age. Minimum age is 8 years old, but most of the time an 8-year-old dog is adoptable. But we say normally the dogs in the shelters are 12 and over that we take. And they can't do the dentals and whatever surgeries they need. Some of them have kidney disease. There's just a varying degree of illnesses that these dogs can have that we're experienced with dealing. And we find a foster home that's appropriate for the dog.
Right. What a fantastic program. Really. I mean, because there are so many dogs out there. I was reading, I know you've been around for 11 years,
yes.
Old Dog Haven, and you mentioned Judith, I think, but it was mm-hmm. founded by Judith and Lee Piper.
Yes.
Yes.
And so I read that you've adopted, I forget how many it was now, if I can just find that number. There's a lot that you've adopted. It's practically one a day that you foster out. I shouldn't say adopted. You foster them out, right?
Right, right. Almost every day we're pulling a dog from a shelter that needed a foster home. Sometimes we take dogs from other rescues. When a rescue takes a senior dog in and then finds out, well, this dog isn't adoptable and they don't have the network that we do to keep the dog in a home, they'll ask us if we can take the dog. And then sometimes we also take owner's dogs. This is another thing that we do, Old Dog Haven does, through our Facebook and website. We post dogs for their owners to find homes.
Right.
And we're actually very successful with that.
Well, I saw a great example of this. I was looking through January's newsletter,
mm-hmm.
and which, for those who are interested, they can find on your website at olddoghaven.org. And, I mean, it brought me to tears. I'm such a softie on this. Like, I want to adopt them all. But this one lady said she was grieving the loss of her old lab mix Cooper. And even though she still had her 13-year-old golden retriever, Sadie, her heart was broken. There was a huge void in both of their lives. And so she fostered one that helped another family out, because in that case, the owner of the dog was waiting for a lung transplant. She had a dog named Sam, and she was waiting for a lung transplant and was no longer able to play and walk him, and he was very lonely. And then Brenda came into his life, and the other dog. And it's so beautiful the way everything came together there.
Right, right.
And so if somebody has an old dog, I had a friend who died very suddenly, very unexpectedly, 2 years ago, and she had a huge dog, but nobody wanted it because of his size,
mm-hmm.
and it took a long time to find a home for him. But if somebody's left in that situation trying to find a home, how do they contact you? What are the criteria for?
So the dog needs to be at least 8 years old. It needs to be altered, so neutered or spayed, and then they can email placement@olddoghaven.org. In Washington State, And I'm the placement intake coordinator, so I actually am the one that answers those emails. Mm-hmm. I get more information about the dog. I send them a questionnaire, and then we get pictures, and then we post the dog on the website and Facebook page. And then what's amazing is the shares that we get through Facebook, and people get really excited about sharing this dog that needs a home. And we do have a lot of success, like I said. And when people email me, I connect them with the owners of the dog or the people that are left caring for the dog. Sometimes it's family, you know, sometimes it's friends, depending on what the situation is, why the dog needs to be rehomed. And then it's up to the owner or the family, whoever owns the dog, to connect with potential adopters. And like I said, we have, it's just truly amazing. I mean, it happens quite often.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about how you guys fund all of this, because I'm reading here that your current vet bills are over $60,000 a month.
Yes.
And this work, it's important work. It needs funding. So please stay with us. You are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guests are Paula Mareschi and Tina Nabseth with Old Dog Haven. And check out their website at olddoghaven.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm just a-walking my dog, singing my song, strolling along. It's just me and my dog, catching some sun. We can't go. My life was lonely and blue. Yeah, I was sad as a sailor. I was an angry one too. Then there was you appeared when I was.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Looking for unconditional love, an exercise buddy, or a great listener? Paws has the dog or cat of your dreams, just waiting to meet you. We've made thousands of perfect matches since 1967, because everyone needs a warm, safe place to call home. Find out more today at paws.org or call 425-787-2500.
Let's see if I guess that this just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing. Writing it, another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicky St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicky partners with people just like you at the exact level you need. Whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicky today. Email Vicky at VickySt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicky and her work at VickySt.Clair.com.
Oh, yeah, that could work.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Join us live every Monday at noon on Alternative Talk 1150 or stream live from conversationslive.net.
Negativity and fear, two staples of talk radio. Well, we figured we'd try something different. Alternative Talk 1150.
And beer will get me mangled up. But then I looked in your eyes, and I was no more a failure. You looked so wacky and wise. And I said, Lord, I'm happy.
Oh, we're having fun today. Bogart, our little four-legged friend today, is dancing to the music here. I'm talking with people from Old Dog Haven today. You can find more about Old Dog Haven at olddoghaven.org. And my guests are Tina Nabseth, she's the placement director, and Paula Mareschi, she's the outreach coordinator. And our four-legged friend I just referred to, in case you're just joining us, is Bogart, who is a final refuge dog here with his owner and very happy about it. So let's talk about how some of the challenges, because Old Dog Haven is not a shelter. We need to make that very clear. It's not a shelter. They help dogs in their golden years. They help place them. And in doing so, they cover a lot of, they cover vets' bills and stuff like that. So I know that some of the challenges you've mentioned are that you don't have enough homes, for one. So how do you go about finding homes for them, other than you put posts out on social media? And
Right. That's pretty much a lot of it is social media on our website. We do have some outreach events, and you know, people can find our booth there or talk to representatives. We've found a lot of homes doing specific posts for dogs. When we are asked by a shelter and they send us a picture with a little bit of information, we'll say, hey, this, like right now, there's a little Pekingese who needs help with his eyes. And so we have a post out there for him saying, if you're interested in this dog, please email us. Read through our information first on the fostering, see if you're interested in becoming a foster home for us. And then we'll get a foster application, and we do screen. We want to make sure that the dogs that we take in, we place in a home that's appropriate.
Right.
So not everybody can do this, you know, because these are senior dogs, and sometimes they need to go out potty more. Sometimes they can't do stairs anymore. You know, there's different reasons, you know, but we do try our best, because when we take a dog from a shelter, we don't send it back if it doesn't work out. We have to find another home for it. So we are very careful about where we place our dogs.
Okay, very good. Well, that's good to hear. I know when I adopted my border collie, mm-hmm. I just mentioned to you, you know, I was his fourth owner in 2 years. And,
wow.
And I found him online and fell in love with his picture, mm-hmm. and drove to Oregon for him. But I went backwards and forwards about, can I really look after mm-hmm. a dog right now, because I was traveling a lot.
Right.
And then I decided I could, so I phone up to go pick him up, and she's like, well, just a minute, I need to talk to you and find out about you first.
Right.
For which I was grateful. You know,
yes.
They were trying to find him a forever home.
Mm-hmm.
So we mentioned earlier that vet's bills run around $60,000 a month. So Paula, I understand you're pretty active in trying to reach out,
right.
and fund these kind of expenses.
Yeah, amazingly enough, most of our money comes from individual donors. So we have a wonderful, huge donor base of people who are dedicated and really care about Old Dog Haven and the dogs. But that all accumulates over time. Like I said, we've been around for 11 years now. Every year, there's more people that find out about us. There's more people who get involved and love what we're doing and donate. But we have to constantly be working to get that word out. Facebook and social media have been hugely successful for us. Other things, you know, when I was asked to be on the board about 2 or 3 years ago now, anything I could think of that would bring in money that we weren't doing, I tried to get started.
Right.
I was one of the people who helped put together our annual Walk for Old Dogs, which has become a huge success for us. And last year, I think we raised almost $100,000 doing that. I got everybody involved in Give Big through the Seattle Foundation,
right.
Vehicle donation cans left here and there, brochures left anywhere we can think of, because, you know, you pick up a brochure, you read about us, you hear about us, you just never know where the money's going to come from. For instance, we had some brochures left at a pet store on the east side. Somebody picked up the brochure and mailed in a check for $500.
Very nice.
So anything we can think of that works,
but anything helps, right?
Right, exactly.
These small donations,
right.
add up too.
Right.
So
I always say, with a donation can, say that's all you feel like you can do to help us, you're still helping us tremendously. What if that can brings in $1,000 a year, even $200 a year? That's a huge amount of money. $1,000 would pay for an echocardiogram for a dog. So you start thinking that you don't think of it as, oh my gosh, we need $60,000 a month. If you start thinking it, and every little bit helps, it starts accumulating that way.
Yeah.
For instance, I have, you know, my retail store, I leave a donation can out and I hand out brochures and I sell calendars at the store. We've gotten 2 final refuge homes just from my husband and I talking about Old Dog Haven and what we do. So you just never know what's going to happen.
Right. And I think the dogs are probably the best spokesperson
ever,
because I was listening when you were waiting in the guest waiting area out here. Normally, you know, people will smile and just walk by. But I think everybody who walked past you today stopped to say hello to Bogart.
Right. Like over the holidays, one of our new fosters stopped by with the final refuge dog to visit. I think half the people in the store dropped money in the donation can. Because the dog was there and we started talking about it and they all got excited and wanted to help.
Right. So let's look at volunteerism, because that's critical also to your organization. And you need qualified and dedicated professionals across the board then. So some of the things that I read they take care of, they transport the dogs, write thank you cards, they man outreach tables, attend events in all weather, monitor donation cans, work on the website, the Facebook page, which I know you do, Tina, develop databases and other, quote, non-glamorous jobs, but important jobs. And I'm assuming that also veterinarian helps. If somebody wants to donate veterinarian services, that would be wonderful, right?
That's always nice.
So if somebody's interested in volunteering, who do they get in touch with and how again?
Again, you can go to our website and download our volunteer application, and it just gets sent to the right person to get in contact with you.
Okay.
And we could really use some people who have professional experience in PR and marketing and social media. Those are the kind of things that, you know, we get a lot of people who want to write thank you cards, and we're thankful for it. But if we could get some people who really know about things like that, it would be a big help to us.
Right. You know, I was actually talking with somebody, this is a thought out here, who just retired from PR and marketing. Uh-huh. So somebody maybe who's just done that might be interested in helping out.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. That'd be great.
Okay, so what else do you want our listeners to know today about Old Dog Haven? I think it's an awesome organization. I mean, I just looking at little Bogart here, what a testament to the great work that's going on.
Well, I would just say that the support is truly important. You know, donations definitely help, but spreading the word about our organization, foster homes, we always need those. There's such a need for dogs, for homes, you know, for senior dogs, and people that are willing to understand that. You know, yes, Bogart has been with us, thankfully, for 3.5 years. But, you know, we do get a lot of dogs that don't live that long, but certainly deserve to go to a home for however long that could be. You know, it's far kinder for them to be with a person than to have to pass away at the shelter, you know. So It truly is. It is a wonderful organization, and I am thankful. I work for Old Dog Haven, but I'm truly grateful for the organization. And before I became an employee, I was a foster, and I still am a foster mom. But the stories that I could tell about different dogs and their owners and people needing our help, it's truly amazing. Mm-hmm. So.
And Paula, what else would you like to add to
well,
that?
Well, I would like to say that a lot of times people will say to me, well, I don't know how you do it. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could take care of an old dog and lose it in 6 months or a year or 2 years. And I just want to say that the joy that you get far outweighs the sorrow. And I have to say, I will never get tired of when I get a new final refuge dog into my home, and they know they have a home, and seeing the joy and the happiness on their face when they realize that. That's the moment when it doesn't matter. The loss isn't important. It's the joy, and I focus on the joy. I got one dog. I'll never forget it. She was at the Tacoma shelter. They said, oh, you know, this is a hospice dog. She's blind. We don't think she can see. She can't do stairs. She probably has a couple weeks. She took one look at the house, walked up the stairs, claimed the biggest dog bed in the living room and was with us for over a year.
Okay, she said, I'm home.
That's right. And they do. They say, I'm home. I'm safe. I'm going to be loved. Yes. And that's just something that is a truly amazing experience.
Yeah, and I think going back to what you said about people being afraid of the loss, I think you have to look at it as you've given this animal who, I mean, you found this one wandering on the streets, mm-hmm. as you said, with 10-inch long hair and all kinds of things wrong with him. You've given them a great end of, mm-hmm. you know, life experience, whether it's 6 months or 4 or 5, 6 years.
Right.
Because you never know with dogs.
Exactly.
And you're right, they do know when they're home, because as an adoptee mom myself, my dog was very nervous when I first took him, that I think he thought I was going to give him back. Mm-hmm. And I kept telling him, You're staying, buddy. Stay.
That's awesome.
You're not going anywhere.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
So I thank you so much for coming in today. It's been great to meet both of you and learn a little bit more about Old Dog Haven. And a final thought that you'd like to share with our listeners today. And they're going to look at each other. So I'll just talk to Bogart, okay?
Old dogs can learn new tricks.
Oh, there we go. That's perfect. Thanks both for
thank
being with
so
us.
Much.
You're welcome. And
thank you.
Thank you. Bogart, if you want to wave to the camera, Bogart, to our listeners who are watching on video stream. Thank you, ladies, for being
thank
with
you.
Us today. You can find more about this fantastic organization. It's Seattle-based, but you do deal with people all over, as I understand. Is that correct?
In Washington State.
In Washington State. Mm-hmm. Okay, Seattle-based, but they deal with people in Washington State. You can find more at olddoghaven.org. And please do stay tuned. We will be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
She marked our trail up the backbone ridge. How many times can one dog pee? Keeps me high as an eagle when I'm on the skids. I guess you gotta come down eventually. Buddy, I could have gone that extra mile, or an extra bark, or an extra smile. I never felt so free. It was just my dog and me.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to NuPro Supplements, we cover the world of animals. This week, January 31st, it's an encore presentation with Zach and Haley, lead farmers from the Ananda Farm and CSA on Kamano Island. Learn about no-till organic farming, all the products they're making, and how you can participate in the CSA and dinners at the farm next summer. They're an extraordinary young couple you'll enjoy knowing. Join us for Martha Norwalk's Animal World Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to mil.wa.gov and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by Washington State Emergency Management Division, local emergency management agencies, FEMA, and the Ad Council.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, award-winning Seattle filmmaker Jen Marlowe entered Bahrain under false pretenses. She filmed Witness Bahrain undercover before being deported by the country's strict regime. Vicki also talks with novelist Catherine Armstead about her latest book, Dream House, an architect's journey to understanding the crippling hold a house has on her and how Parkinson's disease elevated her writing career. Tune in Mondays at noon Pacific time here on Alternative Talk 1150 AM 98.9 HD Channel 3 and catch up with podcasts at conversationslive.net.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
On the AM band at 1150 and on the FM HD band at 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back today. Well, as I said at the top of the hour, today's show is all about community organizations making a difference. And I'm very pleased to have with me somebody from the King County Library System, Julie Brand Acton. How did I say your name? I should have.
You did very
okay,
well.
Okay, very good. I meant to ask you before we went live, but we kind of rushed in here. She's the Community Relations and Marketing Director at King County Library System. And she has more than 22 years experience in communications, including branding, marketing, PR, media relations, advertising, graphics and media production. And since joining KCLS in 2000, she's directed the rebranding of KCLS and the organization's strategic communication and marketing efforts. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, and I should say thank you for stepping in, because Gary Wasden was going to be with us, but he got called away. He's the director at KCLS.
Yes, and I do want to say on his behalf that he was so disappointed. He was actually really excited about being on your show, so he wanted me to extend his apologies for not being able to make it.
Well, no problem. I'm glad you're here. And tell me just a little bit before we get into what everybody's talking about, right? Everyone's talking about. Tell me a little bit about what a day-to-day life at the library looks for you.
Oh, for me? Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, a lot of people think of libraries as being kind of quiet places, and could not be further from the truth.
You mean you have pressure and deadlines and all that other stuff that everybody else has?
Yes, very much so. Very much so. Well, you know, we have 48 community libraries, and we're one of the busiest library systems in the nation. So every day is very, very busy. You never know what may cross your path. I may be writing a document, editing something. I may be working on a design with my graphics team. I may be helping our social media team respond to posts that have come across on Twitter or Facebook. I mean, just a whole slew of things on a daily basis.
And so what we're going to talk about today primarily is, everyone's talking about it. It's this program. I'm going to show it up for people who are watching on the video stream. It's called When Everyone's Talking About It, We Can Make a Difference. And it's a new program that's coming out 2016. It's going to run through 2016. And it's really designed to spark conversation, right?
Yes.
So give us an overview of that, and then I'd like to look at, we'll go into this a little bit more in detail and look at some of the programs.
Okay, great. Well, like you mentioned, we are launching the year-long series to really encourage and spark people to come into the library, be part of conversations about really meaningful topics, whether it might be things about gun safety or homelessness or, drones. I mean, there's so many topics that are front of mind for so many people. And particularly, you know, as the year goes on and we get closer to the election, there's certainly going to be a lot of conversation around that. So we want people to come in and participate in these programs. It's a great chance for people to come in. And of course, you know, we respect all opinions and all viewpoints. There's no better place than a library to have these sort of conversations.
Right. And, you know, some of the conversations, well, any conversation can become inflammatory, let's face it.
Yes.
some of the topics that you're focusing on can become very inflammatory. So what kind of forum? I was looking through the catalog, and mm-hmm. sometimes you're going to have these talks at several different locations.
Yes.
And sometimes it's primarily at one location. Mm-hmm. But what is the forum for that?
Well, each program is a little bit different. Some of the programs are going to be facilitated by experts in the field or experts with the topic, and we'll have other folks that are part of that conversation that do have skills in helping to facilitate how the conversation goes and such. And of course, I think, you know, everybody is typically reminded that, you know, when they come into a library, we welcome all viewpoints and all points of view. And so, we just do what we can to make sure that people stay respectful and considerate of others, you know, points of view.
This is what I love about libraries. I love many things about libraries. Marsha Iverson, who helped set this up for us today, knows that because I've talked with her about it.
Oh, yes.
Whenever I move to a new location, the first place I go to is a library, because
wonderful.
There's so much information there about the community, about events that are happening, about opportunities that you might be able to take advantage of.
Yes.
When I first moved to Seattle, for example, Bellevue, I went to Bellevue Library, beautiful library, and put the picked up a conference flyer, and my three best friends I met there.
Right. Well, you know, and if I could mention, I think our library opening event that we had this past Saturday up at the Skyway Library is a perfect example that libraries are so much more than just access to information. We had more than 1,000 people that came out for the new Skyway Library opening event.
Wow.
It was pouring down rain. There were hundreds and hundreds of umbrellas, and that library was just completely packed. And it really just reminded everyone that, you know, libraries really are at the heart of their communities, and it's so much more than just, you know, coming in to check out materials.
Yes, most definitely. I know one of the goals is to generate conversation, you know, again, with people who might not know much about a subject, people who might have opposing viewpoints. How do you plan to try and keep them engaged after this? Because it's very well going to have a conversation. There's a lot of talk right now, for example, on racism. One person that I listen to quite regularly on the radio, that's all we've heard of lately. But talk doesn't solve everything. So what are you hoping to achieve?
Right. Well, I mean, we're realistic that, you know, we can't solve all those problems, but we certainly want to encourage people to start the conversation. The series is going to be going on through the entire year, so we'll have repeat programs, maybe, you know, in a series sort of order so that people do have additional conversation or opportunities to converse about whatever topic that they are part of. Of course, you know, we always encourage people to converse through our social media channels. And so, you know, that is something that we do want to make sure that we're mindful of in trying to keep that conversation going.
Yeah. And it definitely, I think, strengthens communities when people are connecting on that level, and you know, and if they go to several talks too, you
yes.
get to see the same faces too.
Yes, and yeah. many of our programs, you know, some of them will just be packed, and so we absolutely will repeat them, and there'll be plenty of opportunities, whether, you know, you're out on the east side or you're down in the south end, or if you're up around Shoreline, you'll find the programs at most of our libraries.
Okay, great. Well, we're talking today about King County Library System's new program. It's called Everyone's Talking About It. My guest is Julie Atkinson, and we're going to take a very quick break. We will be right back. Please stay with us.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, award-winning Seattle filmmaker Jen Marlowe entered Bahrain under false pretenses. She filmed Witness Bahrain undercover before being deported by the country's strict regime. Vicki also talks with novelist Catherine Armstead about her latest book, Dream House, an architect's journey to understanding the crippling hold a house has on her and how Parkinson's disease elevated her writing career. Tune in Mondays at noon Pacific time here on Alternative Talk 11:50 a.m. 98.9 HD Channel 3, and catch up with podcasts at conversationslive.net.
Let's see if I guess that this just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicki St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicki partners with people just like you at the exact level you need. Whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services, if you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicki today. Email Vicki at VickiSt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicki and her work at VickiSt.Clair.com.
Oh, yeah, that's
I'm Britney Spears. I've had the pleasure of singing all over this great nation, but today I'm lending my voice to the 15 million kids in America struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while 1 in 5 children may be left without enough food for a meal. But it doesn't have to be this way. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks helps to get food to families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to learn how you can help. Together we can solve hunger. Together we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform and stimulate. Making a difference, one word at a time.
Feed your mind and your body and spirit will follow. Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, and we're talking with a representative of King County Library System today, Julie Brand Acterson. She's the Community Relations and Marketing Director, and we're talking about their program called Everyone's Talking About It. Basically, the premise is when everyone's talking about it, we can make a difference. And if you're just joining us, they have some fantastic programs lined up for 2016 at various libraries throughout the King County system. We're going to address a question very quickly that just came in during the commercial break from a listener who said she loves libraries. And I'm sure you hear this a lot, but they're not as quiet as they used to be.
Well, you know, that probably is true. We certainly have a lot of competing interests. We have folks that want to come in and find that nice quiet space to read their book. We have community groups that are coming in. We have children's areas. We have teens areas. And so we really do work really hard to try to balance the needs of everyone while they're in our spaces. Some of our libraries do have quiet reading rooms and study rooms and that sort of things. And we do a lot within the buildings to sort of mitigate the noise and that sort of stuff. So we recognize that it's something that is, you know, that we just need to continue to work on.
Yeah, that's one thing I like about the one I use. It has a lot of meeting rooms, and if people want to have a discussion, they can, you know, book a meeting room and,
yes,
and go up there, which I think is really nice. But it's definitely changed. One of the things that I used to do as a kid, my grandmother, we had this routine every Saturday because my mother ran her own business. And so did my dad, and they worked Saturday mornings. She would take us every single morning to the bank to make a deposit in our savings accounts, and then we'd head straight to the library.
Oh, wonderful.
But in those days, we didn't dare talk.
No, that was when you would get shushed by a librarian.
A whole different system. Well, I'm just looking here, and, you know, King County's garnered many prestigious awards, really impressive work that they've been doing, and they're getting recognition for it.
Thank you.
So let's take a look at this particular program we're talking about today, which is Everyone's Talking About It. And one of the things I was really interested in is the Indie Lens pop-up.
Mm-hmm.
Free preview, screening, and discussion on some indie films. So can we talk about that a little and what the intent is there?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So Indie Lens, which I believe used to go by ITVA, actually approached us and said, we would love if you would be able to film some of these or screen some of these films in your libraries, because we know that you're going to be able to bring in the audiences, and there's no better place than to have conversation around these films than in a library. So our very first one that's coming up on February 9th is called The Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution, and it was produced by Stanley Nelson. And it is a really spectacular film about the Black Panthers. And then following the film, and actually this is the model for all of the films that will happen in 2016, is that they'll be facilitated by a local expert so that there can be conversation after the film.
Oh, very good. And this one I thought looked kind of interesting, Peace Officer, because this documentary film, type film, you know, we've heard a lot recently about the relationship between police and the community, and there's been a lot of tension around that, especially in certain areas. And in this particular case, the main character in the film, if you want, established Utah's first SWAT team, only to see the same unit kill his son-in-law in a controversial standoff 30 years later. That's definitely going to spark conversation.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, and as you can see, it's going to be facilitated by Christopher Bailey, who is our former prosecuting attorney and also the author of Seattle Justice. So that's going to be a really fascinating conversation.
Right, right. Tell me how you came about these, how you found these films. Do people put proposals to you? Is that how it works?
Well, actually, ITVA called me.
Okay. Well, that was easy.
Yes, it was actually quite easy. But we also actively look for other opportunities. Like, for example, the Lincoln Center has a whole series of films that they're looking for libraries to screen. And so we're going to be working on bringing some of the films from the Lincoln Center to KCLS. And to date, they've only been shown on the East Coast. So we're constantly scouring, looking for things that we know are going to be of interest to our audiences and our patrons.
And so we mentioned earlier some of the topics: drones, finance and the economy, immigration, local issues, of course, popular culture, health, guns, crime and safety, equality, justice, and individual and the environment issues. And one of the things that I thought kind of fascinating, because I'm not a fan of drones myself, but you have a drone, an introduction to drones, unmanned aerial vehicles. So you're going to talk a little bit about this, because I think there's a lot of negative connotation around them. People seem to be either for them or against them. There's not much middle ground there.
Right.
So I'm assuming that by the time this conversation has come out, we'll find more of a middle ground there.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and you're probably, and I know I'm like most people where, you hear about in the news, you hear about Amazon using drones. And I think this will be a really good introduction for everyone to really understand what drones can do and, potentially how they might be used and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And then you've also got one coming up about immigration, and the talk is refugees in our community. That's going to be held at several different places. What's the goal there? You say it's going to be a multifaceted conversation, but what's the goal there?
Well, again, the goal is to be part of a conversation that talks about the difference between what a refugee is, what an asylum seeker is, what an immigrant is, and to really just deepen one's understanding of the immigrant experience. Of course, King County is a tremendously diverse area, and we have people from all cultures using our libraries and in our community. So this is something that's very real for libraries. And when you walk into pretty much any of our libraries now, you see a very, very diverse clientele. So it will be a really interesting conversation. And it's being facilitated by Andrew Krichovich. I'm not sure I pronounced that correctly. Hopefully I did. Who is the Director of International Counseling with Lutheran Community Services.
Yeah, and it says here concerns range from international relations and domestic safety to economics, race, religion, social justice, and more. And, I'm an immigrant, obviously, and one would think that when you move to a country that speaks the same language, it's not a big transition. It was a huge transition, let me tell you. So I think this is a really important conversation, and the more we understand each other, the better we'll all get along.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. If I could also point out, a lot of these topics are very serious and thought-provoking, but we also sort of have a lighter side. So we'll also be talking about things in popular culture. Of course, Downton Abbey is a series that everyone's talking about, and so we'll have some programs related to that. We've had tremendous success with ukulele programs. We have people coming out in droves wanting to play ukuleles.
Lovely. I love it.
Yeah, it's kind of, I'm not really sure how it all started, but it's super popular. And then we're also doing an Academy Awards preview party, which, coincidentally now really is in the news. So it's going to be particularly interesting.
Yes, but particularly timing.
But our programming is more towards, the nominees and what's being up for, the Oscar. So.
And film and fashion,
yes,
you cover too.
Yeah.
And yes, I had Downton, I had this marked here. Life in Service at Downton Abbey. What a huge series that's been. And do you know, I haven't seen one episode of it.
Well, I hate to admit it, but I haven't either.
Well, everybody assumes because I'm British, I've been watching it, but right. They forget I grew up watching that kind of stuff.
Oh,
and
sure.
So, you know, I'm sure it's a very good series and everything, but I haven't seen one. But I love this one, too. This is a fun one. Although some people would take this very seriously, too. The Sasquatch Seeker's Field Manual.
Oh, yes. And we are expecting great numbers of folks at these programs. Sasquatch has a real following in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm. So let's talk about something that's very important, because all of these programs are free.
Yes, absolutely free. And our parking is free also.
And your parking is free. That's a big consideration.
You know, it really, really is. I mean, most places that you go nowadays, it's pretty tough to find the combination of both those things.
That's right. So regardless of what kind of forum, regardless of what kind of topic, everything is free and you're welcome to go along. People, do they need to register? Do they need to sign up? I mean, how does that?
For the most part, they do not require registration. All of these are on our website at kcls.org. So there may be an occasional one where there might be some limited seating where it says registration required. But for the most part, 99% of them do not require registration.
Mm. And I know when I was talking with Marcia, one of the things that she encouraged was that you want to hear people's ideas. So how do they get those ideas to you?
Yes. Well, the easiest way is to go to our website. We have an email there where you can send in your comments. We, of course, have our social media presence where folks are welcome to post and also send messages as well.
Okay. And anybody's welcome. Are any of these PG rated or...
PG rated.
You know, adult only, children.
No, I believe that they're appropriate. Yeah, I mean, it's an adult program series, but we certainly don't, you know, stop anyone from any age coming in.
Okay. So from your perspective, as you do a lot of outreach, what else is going on this year? Tell us what other exciting things are going on with the library. So I know there's a lot going on when I look at their website.
Oh, my gosh.
We only have a couple of minutes. We're okay. Almost at the end of our segment. But.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there's always so many things going on. I mean, we serve everyone, so we're always working really hard in the arena of early literacy. We work really hard with our school districts that we serve. We've recently launched a online student library card for the Bellevue and the Kent School District, and we're rolling that out to other school districts so every student can have a library card. So that's a big initiative that's underway. This year, we're also going to be launching into a strategic visioning process where we'll be going out and really talking with communities about how they see their libraries, what sort of things they think we should be involved in. And so you'll certainly be hearing a lot from the library around that.
Okay. Well, and hopefully you'll be hearing a lot from people too, because that's what you're all about.
I've heard
you say that a couple of times, and you know, it certainly is in the material here. Now, this is the catalog with all of your Everyone's Talking About It programs in. Can people pick this up at the library?
Yes, those will be throughout the library, but you can also go on our website and find the same information very easily.
Okay. Most of these are in the evening, I understand, unless they're at the weekend, yes.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So final thoughts you'd like to leave our listeners with, Julie?
Well, gosh, I just want to say thank you for having me on today and giving us a chance to really get the word out about this series. I think it's going to be something that's going to sort of take the conversation to a different level than we've had in our libraries before. And so the more we can, you know, share and let other people know that we really want people to come in, we really want them to be part of the programs and part of the conversation.
Well, I thank you. Thanks for sharing this with us, and appreciate you taking time out to come in today and talk to us about it.
Great.
Great
thank
program,
you.
And I certainly will be going to some of those programs myself.
Wonderful. Thank you.
So, again, it's called When Everyone's Talking About It, We Can Make a Difference. So if you see this Everyone's Talking About It catalog at the library, pick one up. It's got all of the this year's program in. And tons of information in there, so just pick it up. And again, I'm going to stress, all of these programs are free. So if you want some free entertainment, education, stimulation, conversation, check out KCLS, kcls.org. And again, my guest, Julie Acterson, who's the marketing and what are you, community relations and marketing director. I wanted to make sure I got the name right. Sorry.
Thank you.
All right. I want to thank each of you for joining us today. And if you'd like more information and missed any of the conversation, you can reach me at 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617. You can also email me at info@conversationslive.net. And you can find me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair and Facebook at Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And that's it until next week. Thanks for being with us. Really appreciate you spending this hour with us. And hopefully you get to some of these programs start that conversation. Keep that conversation going. Thanks for being with us. Live well, live strong.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, award-winning Seattle filmmaker Jen Marlowe entered Bahrain under false pretenses. She filmed Witness Bahrain undercover before being deported by the country's strict regime. Vicky also talks with novelist Catherine Armstead about her latest book, Dream House, an architect's journey to understanding the crippling hold a house has on her and how Parkinson's disease elevated her writing career. Tune in Mondays at noon Pacific time here on Alternative Talk 11:50 a.m. 98.9 HD Channel 3, and catch up with podcasts at conversationslive.net.